Chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid,
for see,
I bring you
good news of great joy
for all the people.
To you this day in the city of David, Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Bethlehem, and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told them, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good evening. Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So as I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, our extended family got together, as did most of you, I'm sure, for most major holidays, year in and year out. We looked forward with great anticipation to these visits, myself, my sister, and my brother. We loved our family, but especially we loved our cousins, because for the most part, they were all older than we. Our mom and dad were the youngest kids in their family, so all of our cousins were mostly older, and we adored our older cousins. We followed them around like puppies, no matter what they were doing. If they were playing baseball, we were playing baseball. If they were swimming, we were listening to records, playing games, eating like crazy. We loved every minute of these holidays. They were kind. They tolerated us. They even pretended to enjoy us as well. During these years of our early childhood, my dad had a movie camera, and he was a great one for making movies of these times when we all got together. At the end of a long day of sports, we did a lot of sports, or swimming, or eating, we would all settle down at night. The uncles would have had a couple of beers or so, and we would sit and watch these home movies, and we loved them. And there was one that we loved above all other movies, and we called it, such a creative name, Brian's Baptism, because it was my cousin, who's right ahead of myself, it was his baptism. And the reason that we liked it so much was that we got to see all of our family before we were born. And it was all these older cousins acting kind of nerdy and weird and goofy like we did now. And they were all sophisticated by then. But we got to see them be little weirdos. And my one cousin, Stephen, was 3, and he was out there, and he kept trying to pull this farm gate closed, you know, and he kept trying to close it, and then it would run after him and hit him. And he'd be, anyway, it was just like this Charlie Chaplin movie. And it was like it was the most hysterical thing in the world, this goofy movie. And then my other cousin, Vicky, dancing, showing off her dance steps, and people doing hula hoops, you know, just goofy things, the whole family sitting out at 3 or 4 picnic tables, all pulled together, eating. And what we loved about it was that we were seeing these cousins who were like us, but all the hairstyles of our aunts, all the strange 50s, you know, 60s, 50s hairstyles, our grandmother who looked so much younger, our uncles who were thinner and had hair. You know, we loved this. We could not get enough of it. And we would say, play Brian's Baptism again. And so we also did the same thing, you know, in my family. My father was the one that would always read to us. It was the same thing with books. On Christmas Eve, of course, he had to always read us numerous times. 'Twas the night before Christmas. But most other evenings, if he was home, and he wasn't home a lot, we wanted him to read us the 3 Billy Goats Gruff, and he did it with all the voices, even the scary ogre. We loved it all, even the guy under the bridge, you know, trip, trap, trip. I can still tell you the whole thing. Anyway, this is, you know, the more you love a story, the more you want to hear it. And I'm sure you guys, you little guys here, if you have one story, you just only want to hear it once, right? You never want to hear it again. Constant repetition. We loved it. And the repetition for us was delightful. And the voices and all the things that my dad did, well, that was great too. Madeline was read to me so many times that I memorized it. My parents thought I could actually read, but I just had memorized when all the page turns were. So tonight we have another one of these stories, Luke's story of the birth of Jesus. We've heard it, more times than we can count. And as I'm saying it to you, I'm thinking, no lineage, or, you know, because it's different than the King James Version that I first heard. And so somehow, whatever version you first hear, that's the holy version, you know. But we get used to hearing this story, and for most of us, it's not quite Christmas until we hear Luke's birth, story of Jesus' birth again. And so no matter what you felt when you came in tonight, whether you were happy, whether you were sad, whether you were stressed, I know there's a few of you out here who were forced to come because your family said you are coming to church with us on Christmas Eve. And so you're vaguely disconnected from all this, but if you came in relaxed, happy, or whether you came in carrying heavy burdens, we come. We come to hear this story and to sing the carols of Christmas over and over again. Even these words from Luke that almost sound too incredible to believe, this from a time now it seems so far removed from us, about a pregnant virgin, about a difficult journey, about a packed inn, a star, a stable, nervous parents to be, shepherds, a sky full of angels. And when we read these words in our mind's eye are evoked sights and sounds and smells that we have imagined from decades of hearing this story in some cases. Year after year, season after season, we hear this story of God's amazing love for the whole world and for each of us on display in the incarnation of God into human form. And you know what? You know what? Somewhere along the way, you and I, we become shaped by this story. Yes, we do, this holy story. Even in the years that you are here under protest, you are being shaped by this story. We are shaped by this story when we hear about Jesus' mothers and fathers. Even before he's born, he's being rejected. There's no place for you at the inn. We can't even squint you in a teeny little bit. No, you've got to be out in a stable with the animals. We hear about the lowly, despised shepherds. We think about, you know, the natural joy and wonder that parents feel when they have a brand new baby. Who of us has not felt that? And we feel that all over again whenever there's another baby born into a family. It's wonderful. And so then we have this sky full of singing angels who can't contain their amazement at what God has chosen to do, to leave heaven and to dwell among his creation, with his creation. How strange is it that shepherds, smelly, outcasts, not even really allowed to give testimony in court, they're not reliable. God picks them to be the first witnesses of his coming. But maybe it makes sense because this child would someday, one day, become the good shepherd, would lay down his life for the sheep. How strange and how interesting, I think, that God would use a decree from an unbelieving, far-off Caesar and use him so that his son, the Savior, would be born in the town where all the ancient prophecies had predicted, a tiny, no-account little town, Bethlehem, the ancient home of David, another shepherd who became king. This child who would one day call himself the bread of life would be born in this little town of Bethlehem, which means house of bread in the Hebrew. How fitting then that this child whose body would feed us communion tonight, we truly believe that. How fitting that he is laid in a feeding trough, a manger. Yes, my friends, it is this story that we need to hear. Not just this year, all through the years. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, has come down to us. God has opened God's heart to us, and will never, never, ever leave us. We come tonight, his children, and we ask him to tell us the story of his love for us one more time. Tell us the story of Jesus' birth again, we say. And over, God is delighted to reply. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Amen. Amen. Christ has come. Merry Christmas to you all. Amen.